pour me a drink and I'll tell you a lie, baby. What would you
If I were to meet somebody for the first time, I would introduce myself as Tammy Dorface, vintage dreamer, singer-songwriter, composer, tunesmith, showwoman, clothes horse, creative multitasker, and superhero on a one-woman mission to put the theatrics back into live music. With my music, whenever I'm creating any body of work, I'm not thinking of trying to be intentionally deep about anything. I just let my subconscious do the work for me. Sometimes I start a song and I don't really know what I'm trying to say. And at the end of the song, I realize what I was feeling the whole time. So in that sense, yes, it can be deep. Intellectual, I don't really think of myself as an intellectual, but I do like to make music that makes people think. Because when I'm creating or when I'm thinking about any one situation that I've experienced or I've heard about secondhand, I'm thinking about how to convey the message through my music to the audience to make them think. Because I don't think very much music out there now does that. Does music influence my fashion? I don't think it does as much as the other way around. When I'm performing on stage, I can use fashion to manipulate or to convey my message even better to my audience. I like to wear clothes that do a performance of their own. Music does influence fashion, especially as I come up with the concepts for all my music videos while I'm creating the music in the studio. I'm already dreaming up what the concept is going to be for whatever music video I'm working on at the time or whatever song I'm working on at the time. The mood of the music will kind of paint a picture for what I'm going to wear in the video, what the other people, other actors and extras in the video are going to wear. You know, the overall mood does inform what the video is going to be about and what we're going to wear in the video. So in that sense, yes. As a female artist working in Nigeria, doing music that is considered slightly left of center in comparison to what the norm is, yes, I face a lot of challenges like many, many artists that are considered alternative in this industry, but I don't like to look at myself as a female artist to start with. I look at myself as an artist. It's the work that should speak for you. It's your creativity that should speak for you, and that's your way of expression. So I believe first and foremost, I mean, regardless of the challenges such as not getting as much airplay as artists considered mainstream and getting the kind of shows that they get, I actually believe that my music is mainstream. It has major pop sensibilities, and I think it's just a matter of time for me to be able to bridge the gap between critical acclaim and mainstream chart success. Having said that, yes, I will keep soldiering on, doing the thing I know how to do best and doing it the only way I know how. My grandmother is a huge influence of mine, as can be seen on my Instagram page. She's somebody that's very dear to my heart and is like a second mother. The major thing that she's influenced in my life is my doggedness and my relentless attitude in pursuing my goals and my dreams. I've watched her do the same with everything that she's chosen to do to fight for women's rights and just even in being a great housewife and baking and in sewing clothes. She made my mother's clothes, she made my clothes, and she made my Dolly's clothes. And up till now, she's still helping stitch and repair bits and pieces that I wear on stage. Some of the self-designed costumes that I wear on stage. You'll see my grandma at the age of 90 still trying to stitch things together. My grandma has also influenced me in ways that I'm only just realizing now, especially where it comes to my love of vintage, old movies and clothes with a story behind them. She would wear the most elegant but simple dresses with cinched-in waists and always had a hat. Every dress had a hat and gloves to go with them at one point in time, and I remember seeing that. And it would seem like a delayed reaction, but here I am, how many years down the line, mimicking what my grandma used to wear and going to flea markets looking for that bit of treasure from the 50s, which happens to be, funnily enough, my favorite era. I feel like I'm slightly displaced in time. So in that way, my grandma's influenced me, and the great thing, I can still go to her closet and pick out things that I still wear. Between myself, my grandma and my mum, they've given me the best dressing up box anybody could ask for. So I'm very thankful for that. With the Kwata Kwata video, how it came about was really how most of my videos come about. When I'm in the studio creating the song, I'm thinking about what the video is going to look like. And the most important thing for me was to start with me. And I tend to gravitate towards things from a bygone era. With the Kwata Kwata song, it's talking about the inevitable end of a relationship. And I thought it would be fun to parody something that we, in this day and age, spend a lot of our time doing, which is buying, and companies are forever trying to sell us things with the promise that they will change our lives. So I did a bit of research and found that back then, companies would sell housewives cleaning products with the promise of cutting their housework in two so that they would have time to coif their hair and paint their nails to look pretty for their husbands in order to keep them. Now, I decided that I was going to turn that on its head and create a bunch of products that will get rid of that man, cut that man out of your life. So there was the Kwata Kwata shampoo for washing the man out of your hair, the Kwata Kwata knives for cutting off your wahala sharp sharp. And you know how the video goes. And so I liked the idea of parodying that idea and turning it on its head. And that was how the video came about. And that was how it all happened. Just like that.